have upon my mind this morning a subject, and it'll be a subject that we won't but scratch the surface of this morning. But it's the subject of rivers. And the Bible has numerous things to say about rivers. We can know from just of our experience in life the blessing of rivers. If you look at some of the first cities in our state, they developed around rivers. Natchez, Mississippi was one of the first cities in our state, right by the Mississippi River. Vicksburg was another city right by the Mississippi River. Rivers, people settle around rivers for good reason. Rivers provided water that we all so desperately need. Rivers, because of the water, provided a lot of fertile ground. A lot of the farms, you'll see a whole lot of farms up and down the Mississippi River. It brought in much wildlife. And it was a great source, not only of water and of fertile soil for good agriculture, but it was also providing a food of fish and animals that would come to drink the water. It was also a natural highway. Folks could get around on the river. So the river became somewhat synonymous with abundance, with blessing, and with peace. The first we see of rivers is all the way back at the very beginning of the Bible in the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 8, it tells us that the Lord God had planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And later it tells us in verse 10 of that same chapter that a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from thence it was parted and became into four heads. So this beautiful garden that the Lord had planted had a river. And out of the river, the Bible said it was parted into four heads. And it tells you the names of these rivers. Says the name of the first is Pison, which that Hebrew word literally means increase. That is which compasseth or surrounds the whole land of Havilah, which means circle. I wear upon my hand a ring that was given to me when me and Sister Emily were married. And that ring is in the form of a circle because my promise and commitment to her has no end. And that's part of the semblance of a circle. The word Havilah, that this river of Pison, this river of increase, surrounded, means circle. And it said, and where that land is, there's gold, precious things. And the gold of that land is good. And there's delium and the onyx stone, precious stones and gold. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same as that which compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name Gihon, that Hebrew word literally means bursting forth. So we see this river out of Eden is one of increase. It's one of bursting forth. The name of the third river is Hiddekel, which means rapid. That which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates, which means fruitfulness. So here at the very beginning of the Bible, when it first talks about rivers, it gives all of these descriptive words and names of increase, of rapid blessings, of fruitfulness, of abundance. a blessing. If you look in Isaiah chapter 61, we'll see where a river is mentioned. Excuse me, Isaiah 66 is what I want. Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 12. It's talking about Jerusalem, and he's telling the city of Jerusalem, which is a picture of the church of the Lord Jesus, to rejoice. He said, "For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river." Have you ever just sat by a river and seen the beauty of it and heard the gushing forth, that Gihon of the river, and felt this is such a peaceful place? God said, "I'm going to extend peace to her like a river." We sing a song, and it's one of the songs we sing the most at Providence. It is well with my soul. That song begins by saying, "When peace, like a river, attendeth my way." River in the Bible began associated with peace. Said, "Behold, I'll extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream." He said, this peace like a river, this glory is more than to the Jews. It's also to the Gentiles. And he says here, "I've got a people that are going to be blessed with peace like a river of the Jews and also of the Gentiles." Then he paints this beautiful analogy of a nursing and attentive mother. "Then shall you suck, ye shall be born or carried upon her sides." How many little ones have we seen carried on mama's side right here in this place? "And be dandled upon her knees." That word "dandled" literally has the connotation of this kind of movement right here that you see mama's doing all the time. Keeping the baby quiet. Sometimes it's in the arms. Here it's on the knees, dandled on the knees. And the Lord begins to paint a picture of his care for us as the care of a mother for her child. You know, we as men sometimes try to be tough, but I suspect that deep down inside of all of us, there's times when the things of this world have gotten so difficult, if we could, we would have crawled up into the lap of our mama and let us dandle her. Dandle us on her knees. There's something about the comfort of a mother that is a comfort that's one of the greatest we can see in this world. But we have even a greater comfort than that. He said, "As one whom his mother comforted, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem." As the loving arms and the loving lap of a mother can ease the pain and the fear of their little children, so the Lord, to even a greater degree, can comfort us. And we can feel that intimacy with him like a little babe does with their own mother. He's not a God that's way far away, but he's a God that's up close and wants sweet fellowship with us, and he'll dandle us on his knees. He paints this sweet picture of the church in a motherly fashion and of the comfort he gives in such a wonderful way. The children of Israel. You know, as I begin to comment on rivers, somebody may think, well, Brother Mark, I don't live right by a river. And I don't either. And you know, there were times that the children of Israel were way, 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 way far from any river. As the children of Israel wandered for 40 years in the wilderness after God brought them out of bondage in Egypt into freedom, they were in a dry, in a desert place. Kind of like this old world. Have you ever felt like you were in a dry and in a desert place? And you kind of look for a river. But from a worldly perspective, there was no river in sight. The Lord, even in the desert condition of the wilderness that they walked through, the Lord provided them. Where there was no river, He provided them with the river. Look in Psalms chapter 105 and verse 41. He's talking about their wilderness journey in the desert. Verse 41 said, He opened the rock and the waters gushed out. Remember gushing out that first, one of those first rivers, Gihon? He opened the rock and the waters gushed out and they ran in the dry places like a river. In a desert land where there was no water in sight, God made a river. And He made a river out of the rock. And we don't have to guess who that rock is, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it tells us that the children of Israel in those wilderness journeys, they drank of that spiritual rock which followed them. And that rock was Christ. It was Christ, the rock that made the river. And He satisfied the thirst of probably a couple of million or more of the Jewish people in the wilderness. By the way, there's some folks that there's evidence of a rock over in that land, and it's a clifted rock, where above the rock there's no evidence there's been any water flow, but below the rock there's smooth rocks and great evidence that a massive amount of water came under that rock. Kind of fits with the scriptural narrative. It said that rock followed them. As the children of Israel went through the wilderness, they had the pillar of cloud by day to lead them and the pillar of fire by night to lead them. But God didn't just lead them. God had their back. God followed them. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And when they were thirsty and they were in a desert land and they wondered, can I put one foot in front of the other? He opened the rock. And He blessed them with an abundance of water, exactly what they needed. You see, the real river of the Bible is not a geographic location. The real river of the Bible is a person.
Amen.
In Isaiah chapter 32, it says, Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man, the God-man, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, fully man, but fully God, born of a virgin, and a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and this same man as a covert from the tempest, and this same man as rivers of water in a dry place. This world's a dry place. We may look around and say, from a geographical standpoint, I don't see a river. Oh, but we have a river, and He's close. We have a river. and he's always there. We have a river that we need to stay close to. As rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. You know, if we go to Psalms chapter 32, actually, I want to go to Psalms 46. The psalmist, and I'll jump here in the middle. Verse 4, he said, there is a river. Not just there was a river, there will be a river. There was a river, and there will be a river. But there is a river. You see, this man was not only good. This man, the Lord Jesus, this river of water in a dry place was not only good for yesterday and not only good for tomorrow. He's good for today. He's good for right now. Whatever you have going, he's a river of water in a dry place. Said there's a river, the streams whereof make glad, make rejoicing the city of God. A picture of his church there, Jerusalem. The holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. He said, there's a river, and the streams thereof make glad the city of God. He said, there's a river in this city, and there's streams that go out from the river. And in that, we know that the river of God, the water of God, he talked to the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4 and said, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. The Bible is very plain, and we'll get to a verse in a minute, very plain that the living water is the Holy Spirit of God. And there's a river of the Holy Spirit in this city. And that river goes into streams. We look on the day of Pentecost there in the book of Acts. You'll see where the Spirit of the Lord came down with a rushing mighty wind. The Bible said, and it filled the house. So there was a filling of the congregation of the house collectively. But then it said that same Spirit came down in cloven tongues like a fire and sat upon each of them. So the Spirit comes down, this river comes down and blesses the whole congregation with the Holy Spirit of God in an extraordinary way, collectively. But then it individually blesses us. Individual blessing just for you. An individual blessing just for me. This river becomes streams, and the streams bless each of you in a wondrous and a special way. It makes these streams make glad and rejoicing the city of God. What a blessing. What a blessing. Notice that in addition to mention a river here, it mentions the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. The Lord Jesus in John chapter 7 is going to make a very famous and noteworthy statement. He's going to make this statement during the Feast of Tabernacles, which was the last feast that Israel had of the year. It was a feast right after the Day of Atonement. Now the communion that we're going to participate in here in just a little while is a great blessing, and it's all about the atonement. The Feast of Tabernacles came after the atonement. And the Feast of Tabernacles really commemorated the time when they were going through the wilderness wanderings and they lived in tents. And that was a reminder to the children of Israel of God's sustenance of them, of God taking care of them, of God feeding them with manna, of God giving them water out of the rock, and of God giving them shelter in the forms of the tabernacle that the Lord was always with them and sustaining them and caring for them. Part of that Feast of Tabernacles was a particular part of the service that was called the pouring of water. And the priest and a large multitude of people would go down to the Gihon spring and get water in a golden pitcher. They would bring it up and pour it at the base of the altar. And it was a sign of the great, it was a sign of the blessing of the water God gave them in the wilderness, but also a sign of the great water of the Spirit when the Messiah would come to bring. And the Lord Jesus, on the last day of that feast, they had seen this water poured for 7 days. Now this is the last day of the feast. And the Lord Jesus would say, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. As the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. By this he spake of the Spirit, which should afterward be given, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." You know, one of the interesting things about the Psalms 46 passage we're reading, there's a river, the streams whereof make glad with the city of God. Jerusalem itself doesn't have a river in it. It's got the Gihon spring, but it doesn't have a river. Why? Jesus is the river. Jesus is the river. And he says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. I'm the river. I give the blessing of the Holy Spirit of God in a wonderful and a precious way. And he says that not only is he a river, but because he's placed the Holy Spirit of God in us in the new birth and blesses us, he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. You know what? While my mama was such a blessing to me, and while my wife has been such a blessing to me and to our children, because the Holy Spirit the Lord has put within them flowed out and was a blessing to me. God has made us channels of blessing, and his river of the Holy Spirit flows in us, and it flows in us and flows out of our belly and is a blessing to others. Every blessing I've received from my mothers in Israel and from all of you here today, it's because of the Holy Ghost God's put within you.
Amen.
See, your flesh isn't a blessing to me. And my flesh is not a blessing to you. But I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit that God's put within us, it is a channel of blessing. That's one of the reasons we need to be together.
Amen.
That's one of the reasons that fellowship is so important. How many of God's people have been such a channel of blessing to us when we needed it most? And we should desire to be that channel of blessing to others.
Amen.
And we can't take any glory in that because we're not the source of the river.
That's right.
I'll close with this because I'm trying to be mindful of the time and leave plenty of time for communion. But we see the ultimate source of this river in the book of Revelation. Verse chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Where's the source of this river? China? No. Europe? No. South America? No. Australia? No. The United States of America? No. The source of this river is heaven and a mode of glory itself. He said he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. We see the fountainhead of this river. We see why this river is something that Jerusalem, the church, should rejoice in. We see why the streams thereof make glad the city of God, because it comes from the very throne room of God in heaven and immortal glory. God has blessed you to be a vessel. You remember when God changed Saul of Tarsus' heart on the road to Damascus? He tells Ananias, he's a chosen vessel to me. You know, little child of God, you're a vessel. You're a vessel of the Holy Spirit of God. You're a vessel of the river of God, because he's put his river within you. And your river flows to me. And I hope in some small way my river would flow to you. But it's really not our river. It's the Lord's river. But I'll tell you, it's a peaceful river. It's an abundant river. It's a river of blessing. It's a river of life. It's a river that makes glad the city of God. I thank God for blessing us with the river. And I thank God for blessing me for his river to flow through you. Be a blessing to me. May we ask for opportunities of our Lord, our Savior, our Master, and our Redeemer. Lord, you promise out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water. Put me in touch with the right people today that need a flowing from the river.
Amen.
And help me be a blessing to you. What a wondrous Savior we have. God bless you. It's my prayer.